Welcome to Nursing Notes Live, compelling interviews with today's nurses who are changing healthcare. Brought to you by Johnson & Johnson. Nursing Notes Live, presented by Johnson & Johnson, is the podcast extension of the national bi-monthly e-digest, Notes for the Nursing Community, which shines a spotlight on nurses as innovators and critical change makers in the delivery of positive patient outcomes within today's healthcare landscape. You can subscribe to receive Notes for the Nursing Community updates at the Johnson & Johnson Nursing website, discovernursing.com. Every month, Notes for the Nursing Community content is accompanied by two episodes of this podcast, which provides greater insights and nurse perspectives into topics discussed in the e-digest. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on the podcast player at discovernursing.com, and don't forget to subscribe to the entire series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of Nursing Notes Live, I interview nurse educator and researcher Lori Spees. Lori is an assistant professor at the Baylor University Louise Harrington School of Nursing, a family nurse practitioner, and teacher in the Doctoral Nurse Practitioner Program. In 2017, Lori received a Fulbright Global Scholar Award to teach and conduct hypertension-related research in countries including India, Vietnam, and Zambia. Listen as we talk about the importance of nurses building leadership and research capacity to address priority population health issues globally. Hi, Lori. Welcome to Nursing Notes Live. It's great to have you here on the program this week. And I thought we would go ahead and jump in by letting you introduce yourself. Tell our audience a little bit about your background and what you've done over your career as a nurse.
Oh, thank you. So nice to be here. I started nursing when I was as a second career and went right to work in a big, busy ER here in Dallas, Texas, and loved that, but saw a lot of, exciting and interesting things, but also a lot of need, a lot of basic health care education, and really wanted to be able to do more. I was really struck by the gaps in care that at the time this ER didn't use nurse practitioners. So I went back to school to become a nurse practitioner and continued my work in the emergency department, but also did some trips overseas on medical outreach and service trips. And I started those as a nurse. That was one of my motivations for becoming a nurse practitioner. I realized while I knew how to treat certain things, I wanted to be able to do more and do better. So between the autonomy in the ER and the health disparities and the working on mission trips overseas, I really just kind of fell in love with that healthcare outreach globally, and took a kind of an interesting twisty turny path and ended up being a nurse faculty at Baylor University, and have absolutely loved being on faculty, loved being a nurse, and loved being a nurse practitioner. So I'm excited to share that and stand alongside my colleagues around the world who are also nurses and nurse researchers and nurse educators.
So kind of springboarding off that and your look at different things on a global basis, what is your outlook about nurses' place in the global picture of healthcare? Because I think this is something that you seem to be heavily involved with. Congratulations, by the way, on winning the Fulbright Global U.S. Scholar Award for your work with various things on a global basis. But what do you see nurses in general doing to impact healthcare worldwide?
Well, thank you for the congratulations on the Fulbright. And I have been astonished by the breadth and depth of work that nurses around the world are doing. And I worked in some remote places in Uganda and saw nurses virtually the only care provider in an entire region of the country, because of the human resources are in such short supply. So there would be no health care at all in much of the world if it weren't for nurses. So we are essential at providing that frontline care. If you need health care in 80 to 90% of the world, it's a nurse that is going to deliver that care. I think that gives us a great perspective on the health care needs of systems. And so I think our place in healthcare is actually throughout the whole system. I think that we are the secret ingredient for true change. If we're going to reach the sustainable development goals, if we're going to appropriately address the non-communicable disease crisis, we need nurses at front and center involved in not only delivering the care, which we've always done, but also more firmly embedded in conducting the research and formulating the plan. So my bias is really that nurses, not only do we lead from the bedside, but we really need to have a seat at those policy level tables. So people aren't making decisions without the information that we can best provide.
And I see that happening on a global basis, both here in the United States and other places, as nurses continue to take on a larger role in healthcare executive positions and also, interestingly enough, positions and on boards outside of the healthcare arena. Have you seen that as well? And what do you think is the reason for that?
Well, absolutely. And I think a lot of nurses have become aware that we can contribute in significant ways. And it's as though many portions of the population don't really understand what we do. And I think it's time for us, and I think many of us have decided, it's time to get the word out that, you know, I can, as a nurse, speak to issues about education and speak about food insecurity in my own community and things that affect health, because we know just almost everything has an impact on health: water quality, air pollution, the availability of healthcare providers, on and on the list goes. And nurses, because of our experience and our expertise in advocating for patients, we can really advocate for those changes that create healthier environments, healthier workplaces, healthier communities, and speak in an informed and educated way with a perspective that many people don't have, but they should have. And that's why we can join these boards as nurses, as leaders, as researchers, and contribute that particular perspective that only a nurse would have.
You talked a little bit about non-communicable diseases and their impact worldwide, and I know you've done some work with hypertension in various parts of the world. Can you talk a little bit about why this is a growing issue and what nurses are doing with research and also management in their areas?
Absolutely. Well, this is what my Fulbright research was about. It's also what my current study in Uganda is about, is nurse-led interventions for hypertension. When I initially started working globally, what I focused on, and I think what many of us think about in low and middle-income countries or low-resource settings, is that they have a preponderance of infectious disease, that it's an HIV issue or tuberculosis issue or schistosomiasis issue. And indeed, those are pressing healthcare needs along with malnutrition and water cleanliness. But the non-communicable diseases are a growing epidemic. We see that because of an increasing urbanization in society, because people are living longer, because sedentary lifestyles have invaded much of the world. And also the diets have shifted. And sadly, they call that the westernization of the diet. So I think it's a multifactorial that we see this almost astonishing rate. Again and again, I speak to people who say, oh, I had no idea that hypertension would be an issue, and yet 30% of the population in Uganda has hypertension, and it's a very, very small percentage of people that are treated to target. So as nurses, because we are in those communities where we can do blood pressure screening, where we can provide education, we can really make a difference. I think one of my early studies in hypertension was about preparing nurses also to be role models. You know, if we take out that information into the communities in which we live, not just where we work, if we're doing a screening at the local community center, if we are putting on a health fair at the church, if we are at the local supermarket organizing a health screening, we can really identify or help to identify those people with elevated blood pressure. So we can sensitize the population and make them aware of not only if they have hypertension, but also what they can do to prevent it. And then, of course, part of what we do as nurses is educate people to, and why this is important, is the sequela from hypertension. We want to make people understand that, you know, that person that you see in your village or in the town center who has had a stroke probably had hypertension. And nurses are, because we spend time with our patients, because we have that rapport in the community, and because we command respect, we can really get that word out. And I think the NCDs, the non-communicable diseases, really just scream out for nurses to be involved in interventions. I think we can do it well. I think if we're going to address many of these issues, it really is going to be from the nursing perspective that gets it done.
Now, I know you're getting ready to take a group of students, I believe, on a trip. And tell me a little bit about how you prepare them for what they're going to experience and how you hope to instill a sense of global responsibility and awareness in them.
That's a great question. I take the preparing the students very seriously. I think, you know, we've all heard horror stories about people doing damage when they meant to do good. So I try to make the students very aware of that, you know, we are visitors and that we need to really embrace cultural humility. Just because something is done differently doesn't mean it's done wrong. I also intentionally set up our partnerships and the places where we work so that our work is sustainable. So we are working with people that will continue our efforts when we leave. So we are doing health screening on this particular trip, health screening and health education. And those things that we identify that need additional care, we've arranged to have a local referral. So we are participating in the local healthcare system. We meet many, many, many times before we actually travel to the country and, you know, talk about this is what a daily, what a day would look like. And this is the different food that you'll eat. And this is what you'll expect to see. And then some of the, you know, culture shock, we try to mitigate that. So many of the students in Dallas perhaps have seen poverty in the United States, but poverty, you know, visiting an orphanage in a developing country can be shocking. You know, visiting a hospital, even if the care in that hospital is excellent, if you're used to a Western hospital, it can be a bit shocking. So we spend a lot of time providing information and education about here are the most common diseases in the country. Here are, you know, what's being done to address these issues. Here's the education we're going to provide going in to help mitigate this. One of the parts of this particular trip to Zambia that I'm pleased with is we work with a nursing university in Zambia and with a university rather in Zambia, and our students will be working alongside the students from the university in Ndola, And that outreach into the community then is also about developing relationships between nursing students from the United States and students in Zambia. So we see it as a collaborative, collegial outreach into the community rather than just, you know, we're here from the United States to help you. Because that's really what makes it a sustainable endeavor, is that we are empowering and enabling and encouraging people that we come alongside and help further the work that they are already doing.
And it's interesting to hear, you know, talking about those connections and how we have to make sure we don't bring our Western assumptions of what good healthcare is with us, because I've seen this in places where they perhaps donate ambulances. They, you know, send a fully stocked American ambulance to Africa,
right.
And it languishes unused because the roads are not suitable for that type of transport. They can't refill oxygen cylinders. Much of the equipment, they can't recharge the batteries. And so what they really needed was a transportation device. And an organization that was looking into this actually discovered that a motorcycle with a sidecar was the best form of emergent transportation in some of these areas, and much more cost effective. So making those assumptions can sometimes cause more harm than good.
Absolutely. And it is sometimes difficult for us to set aside what we think will be the correct or the best thing to do. And so we do have to sort of still our ego and still our preconceived notions and go in with an open mind and ask. And part of our preparation for the teams that we lead out, both study abroad and the service trips, are to actually ask our partners on the ground. So we ask our Zambian colleagues, what education do you want us to provide to the children in your school? What education can we provide for the nurses in this hospital? How can we, you know, what would be the most efficient use of your time if we're standing alongside you? So we really try to meet the needs that they identified, but also, you know, that my nursing students can do. So we are very mindful that, you know, you can't ask my nursing students to do something beyond the scope of their skill set. So we, but there's, you know, so many great ways that they can provide education and interact with children. And while they may not want, some of the teenagers may not want to ask me questions about, you know, their changing bodies or sexuality, they're comfortable asking a college student that. So there are many ways that we can meet their needs as they've identified them and provide rich experiences for the United States nursing students as well. And on these student trips, that's really what it's about. How can we have this mutually beneficial collaboration? I guess maybe that's what it's about on all of the trips, right? But it's a little different when we're taking students in there. So as a nurse practitioner, I might be able to go in and work with a Zambian nurse or an Ethiopian nurse and provide health care. But as leading a team of bachelor's nursing students, I have a different perspective, a different skill set that we bring. I have an example that's similar to that sidecar story, but it's we had a team once in Ethiopia, and we'd had a little bit of extra money, and we wanted to donate it to this orphanage where we were working. And as a team, the students and I sat around, and we decided, well, what we really should do is pay for transportation to the big city so these certain group of children can get this higher level of care that they need. And so we had a great plan. And when I went in to meet with the director of the children's home, she said, you know, I just paused and said, we have this, you know, small amount of money. How would you like us to use it? And she said, you know, You know this certain student, you've seen him, he walks with braces, he used crutches, he'd had polio, and they needed a different configuration in the latrine for this child. And it was a, you know, just a simple, you know, sort of something that just could be added easily. And it never had crossed our mind that that would be the priority need. But of course, when she asked for it, it was clear that that made much more sense than, you know, driving children across town to get care. So, you know, again and again, we've had those where we're going to go in and we're going to talk about, you know, HIV, but we pause and say, what would you like us to speak about? What education would you like us to provide? And it's been interesting. The topics have been, you know, osteoporosis or prostate cancer or breast cancer topics or hypertension, things that we wouldn't have guessed they wanted to know. So, yeah, I think that's I think your car versus sidecar on a motorcycle example, it's just spot on. We really need to listen with, you know, open ears to what our on the ground colleagues tell us the need is, not what we think the need is.
Final question for you, Lori. As students are listening to this, we have a lot of students that are in our audience. What can they do to help grow their understanding and their sense of global responsibility for healthcare worldwide?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that if there's a possibility to work cross-culturally, and sometimes that looks like working with immigrants or working with refugees, or sometimes that means taking a study abroad course or going on mission or going on service learning, I think that actual experience, that hands-on experience of seeing this person whose life is not that different from your own, but was born, you know, on the other side of an invisible line and has this huge difficulty in obtaining healthcare, I think it's profound. I think that for me personally and for many of the students I've taken overseas or into the inner city clinics, their response is, been, you know, I didn't know, and this has changed me, and it's something that I will take into my practice, even if I'm working, you know, with plastic surgeons in the wealthy part of the community, just to be aware of those global issues, I think makes us more compassionate and better care providers.
Stay tuned for more episodes here at Nursing Notes Live coming soon, and check out another recent episode where I chat with Judy Pins, the president of Fiedler Enterprises, a healthcare education company of the Association of Perioperative Registered Nurses, AORN. Judy is helping to provide continuing education opportunities for operating room nurses through the Nurse Executive Leadership Seminar Series. You'll find that and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Commitment to Nursing by Medic Cast Productions. All rights reserved.